Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for checking in here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got a great trip report prepared for you. I'm currently with the crew in Cozumel, Mexico, running the amazing race. But of course, we're never going to leave you without a podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Today's podcast is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I can guarantee you, as soon as I hop off the Fantasy here on Saturday, I'm going to be having lines right there on my iPhone 7 so that I can zig when everybody else is zagging and get more fun out of my Disney vacation. You can do the same. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1195 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com and Cozumel, Mexico, baby. That's right. I wasn't supposed to break my non-disclosure clause, but I am kicking off leg one of the amazing race today. So watch my Instagram and Twitter. That's right. I finally made it. Didn't get in the house on Big Brother. Didn't get cast for Survivor, but I am running the Amazing Race leg one today. We're starting down in Cozumel, Mexico. So check out my social media. If I can mooch off somebody on the ship that bought the internet package, you may see some pictures before Saturday. But if not, then we'll just have to wait till I don't have to pay money to put out those tweets. Because you guys know how much I tweet. If I bought internet, that'd just be an ugly thing on a cruise ship. Anyway, we're going to be talking today about a great trip from last fall with listener Maddie down in Dallas, Texas. How's it going, Maddie?
It's gone great. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you on the show, and I hope it's a great summer down in the great state of Texas for you.
It has. I'm going to knock on wood right now. It hasn't gotten over 100, so hopefully we will not see that too much.
That's it. Right as you say that, I'm sure the tumbleweeds are cruising by. That's usually how it goes.
Oh, yeah, no. That's why I knocked on wood, right? That's supposed to work.
Sometimes. I think I have fake wood. I got particle board here in the studio. You know, we go cheap, so I can't really tell you. Anyway, so let's talk about this trip you took. You guys went down last fall, and the trip kind of started off one way and kind of morphed into a different type trip for you because of lots of circumstances. But I think it's great to talk about this because even though we're here in almost mid-July, I can't believe it. You know, thoughts are moving on to Food and Wine Festival time, the fall down at Walt Disney World. Halloween party tickets have been on sale for a month now. So tell us about your trip. When did you guys go down?
Yeah, so we went down in October, and the idea was we wanted to go down because we not only wanted to do the Halloween party, but we also wanted to do the Food, Wine, and Festival. Those were two things that when we went last year for the Wine and Dine race, we didn't really get to fully experience. So my husband and I were like, you know what? It's our fifth anniversary, but we're going to take a few months early and go down there. So I had this idea where we were going to backpack at Fort Wilderness because we both love to backpack. We're like, we have all this gear. We might as well save a few bucks and just camp out. But my cousin ended up getting married the weekend before, and we hadn't planned on leaving until the Tuesday of that week. And so my parents were like, hey, instead of going back to Dallas from New Orleans and then going to Orlando, why don't you guys just take some of our DVC points and stay at Saratoga Springs? So we got some last minute Saratoga Spring rooms, and that ended up being just perfect, because if we had only gone on Tuesday, we would have done none of our Disney trip thanks to Hurricane Matthew. So
it's one of those things you got to think about in the fall. And let's, again, we should be, I need a big block of wood here, because let's hope this doesn't happen again for another decade or so, because that was such a nightmare. Right. I mean, we've had two or three guests come on over the past year and talk about, Disney handled the situation well, is the message mm-hmm. I got. But the problem is, logistically, there was just so much that caused people to have, it had a huge impact on everybody's vacation. So we'll talk about that, but let's just hope it doesn't happen again. Now, so you guys didn't camp at all then? You were planning on camping, but you ended up at
Saratoga Springs. We camped one night. Okay. So I'll kind of go chronologically. Trying to look through my blog posts and remember exactly what happened. But we got there, ended up going on a Sunday. My husband's a pilot, so we non-rev, so who knows when we actually arrive at any destination. but we ended up getting there, getting to our resort, just hanging out, and I'm looking here. So that was the day we went to Disney Springs. We had not gotten to do Jock Lindsey's yet, which was high on our list. And then, so we went to Disney Springs, we did that. And then we actually did dinner at Trattoria Al Forno, which was right about the time that the Abracadabra had just opened as well. I had heard y'all talk about it on the podcast, and I was like, we have to go. So we checked that out while we were waiting for our table. And then we went to Beaches and Cream, and probably got diabetes for about 24 hours.
I hate to say this. I love some Beaches and Cream. Nothing wrong with that anytime. But man, you were right next to Ample Hills. Oh,
it wasn't open at the time.
Okay. Good. Then we're all right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it wasn't open at the
time. I can't believe I'm going against Beaches and Cream. I feel like such a traitor. Something's wrong with me. It's a good start, though. What'd you think of Trattoria Al Forno? Because, it's getting all the buzz now with the Bon Voyage breakfast, but, dinner time, what'd you think?
I thought it was really fantastic. Jared and I, we're like semi-foodies. We like good food, but we're also cheap, so who knows? we ended up splitting. I think I had some chicken parm thing, which was really interesting because I actually have to eat gluten-free. So the fact that they were able to do a breaded chicken gluten-free was really awesome for me, because I usually don't get to do that kind of stuff. And Jared loved his stuff, so we were happy.
Good stuff. That's a great way to start the trip, though, there. It's not very stressful. Disney Springs is a place where you're not waiting in lines. You don't feel like, we're behind the ball, because I know sometimes when you arrive and you go to a theme park, you're kind of off that first day because you feel like, well, I missed out on the morning part. So I think going to Disney Springs or going to the boardwalk, stuff like that, go play putt-putt or, just do some resort hopping. I think that's the best way to go day one.
Absolutely. And what was something that was very different for this trip for us was we actually ended up not going to the parks in the mornings just because of the way that our tickets worked. So my mom actually had a conference that she went to, and she had a half day ticket that she had never used, and her coworker ended up not using theirs. So she gave both of them to us. They weren't linked to any My Disney Experience things. So on day two, we actually got to sleep in. We went to Animal Kingdom Lodge. We got to explore the lodge a little bit. We had never really seen it before, hadn't gotten to see the animals. And then we showed up at Animal Kingdom at 4 when nobody's there. And I'm pretty sure we rode Everest 4 times in a row. So it was really entertaining for posting on social media, because I was able to put all 4 ride photos on one square. And we were posing, because we were walking on. There was nobody in line.
I hate to say this, but I think those days are long gone. Is showing up by yourself at 4 o'clock at Animal Kingdom, that may be rope drop at the Magic Kingdom nowadays.
Exactly. So we took advantage of the situation while we could.
That's a good call.
But what was really awesome about that, the second day, was we did get to go to Tiffin's, which was our first time to ever go there. And that was like one of the highlights of the vacation for us. It was a little bit slow on the service, and I think it was just because they were so brand new and they were still trying to figure out what they were doing. But other than that, like, we loved the bread service. I had some sort of like beef something or other that I can't even remember the name of, with some soup, and they even brought us out a complimentary dessert because the service was so slow, and we were set.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, go slow if I'm gonna get some free stuff. That's what I always say.
Exactly.
No problem there. So Tiffin's overall, though, was it, I think, you know, especially when you guys were down last fall, it was this big, to me at least, it's like, and I still haven't eaten there because my family, I'm the only one that would probably like it. They, you know, I'm excited that I'm on a cruise right now. I'm probably the color of a flamingo because none of them eat seafood. Like, bring on the shrimp. Boy, I'll be looking like, you know, I'll be pink because I'll have all that keratin in my body. But because I take advantage. But anyway, so what did you think of Tiffin's? Because I think a lot of people, it was still a mystery back then. I mean, and folks still, you know, going down for their first time since it's opened, maybe don't know exactly what this restaurant is about.
Exactly. And I feel like because Pandora is such a big, you know, thing, like, it's going to be really easy to just walk past Tiffin's because you're like so focused on getting to Pandora. But honestly, if you get the chance to go in there, maybe do a Rivers of Light package or something like that. I really loved it. Like, the we kind of took some time to just like walk the restaurant because, again, it was empty that day. It was like a Tuesday afternoon or something like that. I think it was a Monday afternoon. And so the restaurant was pretty empty. So we felt like we could walk around the restaurant and like look at stuff on the wall without like, hey, I'll interject into y'all's conversation.
I'll have a little octopus appetizer while I'm checking this out.
Exactly. But like just the way that they have the decorations, and we're big fans of like learning the history behind things. So learning, they have so many decorations that tell you the history of Animal Kingdom and some early sketches and what they were thinking when they designed this. And so we learned a lot just about, you know, how they did the Everest ride or, you know, whatever, just by getting the chance to walk around. And then the food is just as fantastic as the decor. So
it's good to hear. Yeah, I got to check that out. I'll have to find a time where it works out, where, you know, we can do that with some folks that might.
And I think they're pretty aware of the fact that some of the food is a little bit more adventurous than normal. And so I'm sure that if you guys, you know, look at the menu, they're going to have your things like chicken or steak that you can just ask the chef to just prepare normal. Yeah. And I'm using air quotes if you can't see me on the podcast.
Can you take that chicken and cut it into nugget form for the rest of my family?
Exactly.
Make sure those are the size of McNuggets. But anyway.
There you go.
All right, so walk us through the rest of the trip. So after you did the Animal Kingdom, got, you know, run of the place, how'd it go the next day?
Yeah, so the next day was where things got a little bit interesting. This is where we were supposed to go from Saratoga Springs to Fort Wilderness, which was our original camping thing. And we started off with mini golf at Fantasia Gardens. We're both big, very competitive when it comes to mini golf, actually.
Me too.
When we got married. But yeah, so we finished mini golf that morning. And as we were Ubering back to Fort Wilderness, we heard on the radio that there was a hurricane coming called Matthew, and it had shifted a little bit and that it was looking like it was coming towards Orlando. And they were talking about the timeline and things like that. And so Jared and I both looked at each other and we're like, maybe we should try to go to the Halloween party tonight instead of on Thursday. So we ended up going to Fort Wilderness, getting all of our bags set up at the campsite. And I grabbed my costume. We did like a Disney bound Lilo and Stitch kind of look, so that we weren't like totally dressed up, but we were themed. And I grabbed my costume stuff and I put it in backpack, and I grabbed my umbrella because it was typical afternoon rainstorm in Florida. And that's where it was not the prettiest part of the vacation, because I ended up standing on the dock with my tiny little umbrella in the pouring rain, and Jared was trying to get the tent set up in the pouring rain. We say it was kind of a God thing that nothing got completely soaked. Like, our tent had flooded, but my suitcase is semi-waterproof, and so all of our clothes ended up staying dry. He was able to figured out, the rain stopped, we got everything set up. I ended up going to guest relations I may have cried a little bit when they told me that I was supposed to have my husband with me in order to do things, but they ended up taking care of it. They figured out I had the best guest relations person ever. Her name was Brianna Rose. I wrote her a thank you card. I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. They changed our tickets from Thursday to Tuesday night. Jared ended up getting there pretty much like 5 minutes right before 4 o'clock, and we went right into the Halloween party and got to experience it for the first time. So that was the first.
Let me ask you this though, before we hop into the Halloween party, because I know a lot of people like to hear reviews of that, because honestly, you know, you're paying so much money for that window of time at the Magic. It's a cool thing. It's awesome. I love going,
right?
But it's a premium price you're paying to do that. So let's talk about that for a second. But first, you know, as this, you know, buzz is going around the resort of there's a hurricane possibly headed to Walt Disney World, what's that like? What are you hearing from cast members? You know, what's that? Because that's so unique. You know, not many people have that perspective.
Well, and it was really entertaining because it wasn't necessarily cast members that were talking about it at first. It was all the guests. So, like, we would be in line for something and we overhear conversation about, oh, did you hear about the hurricane? Or, like I said, like, the Uber driver was the one that was talking to us about it at first. So you kind of hear things and you don't really know what to believe or what not to believe. And then you try to look it up on Facebook and there's nothing on Facebook that's pretty reliable.
Yeah, don't trust Facebook.
And I think we've already discussed a little bit about how Disney, you know, communicated or didn't communicate in some people's opinions. But for us, when we would actually ask a cast member, like when she wrote down the reason for the guest service, she wrote Hurricane Matthew. So I think Disney was already in the mindset of, we know that this is going to be a big deal. And they were more appreciative of the fact that we were being proactive about it. And so I think that, I mean, this is going to be a theme throughout the whole entire rest of the trip. It's because we were being proactive about things, they were more interested in helping us. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense from their perspective, especially because, you know, when they're being reactive to a situation, it's just, you know, it's the best guess, but they have a lot more options when you're being proactive, you know, like,
right.
They're probably like meeting you halfway because, hey, you're helping us, we're going to definitely help you out. But then the hordes
absolutely
are going to be there later, you know, like, I need my money back because it rained, you know, or, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So how was the Halloween party? Any highlights, any tips for folks going here in the fall?
Yeah, so as far as the Halloween party goes, I definitely suggest you dress up, but again, not in your pleather pants like Captain EO. Don't do that.
Dude, I was close to death. That costume was awesome. My wife made it, but she made it out of real thick sweatpants, and it was September. It was so hot. And I wanted to keep it on because it was awesome looking, but it's one of those things like, man, I'm at the party. I have to keep this on. This is like, you know, I get to dress up. You never get to dress up. But then I was soaked. I mean, I had so much sweat. Finally, I'm like, I'm going to die if I keep this on. So yeah, great advice. I love that, man.
Yes. Make sure that you are, it is technically fall. It's technically October, but for a lot of the United States, you still feel like summer. Like I mentioned, we wanted to do Lilo and Stitch. That's kind of one of our favorite stories. And my husband does a fantastic Stitch impersonation as well. So I actually kind of made a like Hawaiian themed dress because I do know how to sew. So I had like a green top or a red top with like, I found a pattern of fabric that just looked like leaves. So it kind of looked like a hula skirt. But that was also around the time that Moana was coming out. So a lot of people thought that we were actually Moana in the ocean. But we have obviously hadn't seen Moana yet. So we were like, no, it's Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, whatever.
But my husband we bought him like blue shorts and he wore his like blue golf shirt. So that was really breathable. And we just had little like, you know, if you've done Disney Bound or seen anything with Disney Bound, it's more about the accessories. So like we had Hawaiian themed accessories and Stitch themed accessories as well. We had found a cool little necklace from Macy's actually, and I didn't realize at the time, but Macy's had like a whole line of Disney stuff for like necklaces and things like that. And it was a Hawaiian flower that said Ohana means family. And it's still one of my favorite pieces of jewelry that I own these days. But as far as going to the Halloween party, it was awesome. You can, like, one thing that I realized a little bit late, but it ended up working out, is you can schedule fast passes if you're only going to the Halloween party, but you have to make sure that it happens between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. So we were able to go boom, boom, boom. I think we did Seven Dwarves, Haunted Mansion, and like the Jungle Cruise. So we were able to get, you know, the big ones that we really wanted to do through Fast Passes. It was Space Mountain, not Haunted Mansion. Yeah. So we were happy about that. And then right after we like literally got off Jungle Cruise and we ate at the Skipper Canteen. We did that maybe around the 6 or 6:30 mark so that we didn't miss any of the actual Halloween party things. And then what we did was we looked at the guide map. We saw the things that we wanted to do, decided on things we didn't want to do, got our trick-or-treat bags, went and got a bunch of candy, and it was awesome. We had so much fun, and the parade was like one of my favorite parades. It's second behind Paint the Night, in my opinion. It was just so fantastic, and I was just singing the song the whole way. I won't do it so that people don't get stuck in their heads in the middle of summer.
Boo. Not even gonna go there.
Yeah, no, don't.
No, but I hear you. It's so much fun. The parade, the fireworks, the trick-or-treating. You know, what I get is, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, can you go to the Halloween party as a couple without kids? And yes, I mean, that's your chance to have a blast. It's awesome with your kids. Don't get me wrong. Mallory Page, I've gone to, you know, when they were both little, enjoyed it. We still enjoy it when we get the chance to go. But it sounds like you guys had just as much fun because, I mean, you get to go back. And I mean, when do you get to have those kind of experiences as adults? That's why you go to Disney. I mean, that's exactly it.
Yeah, Jared has a little brother, and he constantly tells us, please don't grow up. So as long as I think you have that kid kind of spirit and you're able to just, you know, enjoy the experience, then you're going to be just fine.
All right, let's hop to the next day. What do we got? I just don't want to run out of time. I want to get to everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the next day actually started right after the Halloween party because we got back to our campsite around 1 o'clock in the morning. And we had a lovely little like notice put into our picnic table, and it said, by the way, there's a hurricane coming. We might potentially be
evacuating
Fort Wilderness. So the great news is you may not necessarily have a room phone because you're on a campsite, but at the bathrooms they do have customer service phones, so you can talk to the front desk, even though you are at your campsite. So we went to the bathrooms really quick at 1 a.m. and we called the front desk, and we were like, hey, we got this notice. Is there anything that's changed between 4 o'clock and now? And they said, well, the meeting isn't supposed to take place until 9 o'clock. So we don't really know what the plan is. But, you know, it's a potential that we might have to because of the trees and whatnot. So when we hung up the phone, Jared and I both made the decision again, being proactive, you know what, let's just pack up our stuff and, you know, request somebody to help pick up our bags. Cause you can't take your bags on the bus whenever you go, from your campsite to the front desk. You have to either be picked up by a concierge van or otherwise. And so, so we went ahead and we called the front desk back. We scheduled them to please come pick up our bags at like 8:45 or 8:30. I can't even remember. Time doesn't matter because we were just going to go to Epcot, and it's one of my favorite parks. So we wanted to, you know, do all the Future World rides, and then we were going to do Food and Wine Festival. So the next morning comes around and they're supposed to come pick us up. We don't hear anything. Nobody comes to pick up our bags. And I guess there's a lot of chaos going on at the front desk. And the front desk lady was so nice. She was incredible. She came and picked us up in her personal car. Wow. Because they messed up the time to come pick us up. And she brought us to the front. And we put our bags in the baggage room. They labeled all of them with our name and whatnot. And we were off to Epcot. We were just a few minutes late after rope drop, and got to ride all of our rides, got to start, you know, eating around the world at 11 o'clock. What was incredible was the same person that picked up our bags, she gave us a phone call around 2 o'clock in the afternoon saying, hey, I have been looking for a new place. They are evacuating. And she originally was going to put us in one of the cabins at Fort Wilderness, but then they made a decision to not do that. And they were just completely evacuating everybody out of there. And so she ended up finding us a place at Coronado Springs.
Wow.
And we got the text message, you know, with the My Disney Experience app saying, you know, hey, your room is ready. They already had our magic bands already synced up with it. So that part, as far as the customer service, was absolutely incredible. And again, whenever something like this is happening at Disney, I can't reiterate this more. Be proactive, think ahead, you know, try to make it as easy for Disney to help you as possible, and they will definitely step up to the plate.
I totally agree with that. You know, just, and especially in now, you know, how things are today, you have that smartphone in your hand, you know, monitor social media, check out the weather, but kind of get the pulse of, is this something that is likely to happen, or is it just something that's hyperbole? And, you know, because sometimes they blow things out of proportion, but you're exactly right. Like, you had a plan, and but I can't believe, I mean, that's a high level of customer service when a cast member is getting you like that.
Honestly, I did not meet a customer service person that did not step up to the plate. Like, they were totally rocking it. I know that a lot of people say, you know, again, Disney wasn't communicating or things like that, but the staff was totally on top of it and ready to take care of everybody.
Okay, so now I'm sure you're starting to hear, though, that, you know, hey, this is going to be serious. There are going to be some actual closings, which Disney never does. You know, I was down there during Charlie years and years ago, and that happened, too. They closed the parks, and we were, like, locked down into our resort room for, like, 12, 18 hours. Wasn't as long as Matthew. So what was that vibe like the next day once you get over to Coronado Springs?
Yeah, so, you know, we did the Food and Wine Festival, which was fantastic, for me, having to eat gluten-free, it was really nice to have the passport that said, you know, what things were gluten-free and what things weren't. We basically felt like overstuffed burritos. And then we went and rode, you know, Spaceship Earth, which was our last favorite thing. In the meantime, you know, got to Hollywood Studios. We did the Star Wars stuff. And then when we got back to our campsite, the vibe was just like crazy because everybody was just panicking, and a lot of the people at Fort Wilderness are there in RVs, and they also bring their pets, so they couldn't necessarily be relocated to just another resort because they're not allowed to bring their dogs or cats with them, and so the line was literally wrapped around the building trying to find alternate accommodations for them. Thankfully, because we already had our magic band set up, you know, we already had our bags in there, we were only needing a ride, so they were actually able to get us a driver who was also apparently delivering alcohol to one of the restaurants. I mean, it was just, you know, one of those service trucks, so we got into one of the service trucks with him, and he brought us over to Coronado Springs, and that was another moment where, again, we were just being thankful about being proactive, because that was the same resort where they were taking Vero Beach guests, cruise line guests, and the line was literally out the door, and that's a pretty big lobby, out the door, wrapped it around. There was more buses coming and dropping more people off. We were able to just grab our bags. We knew what room number we had. Took 10 minutes, you know, to walk to our room because that place is huge. But we got into our room. We took some things out that got wet to dry, and we had some time to try out Maya Grill before heading to Magic Kingdom for extra magic hours. So, again, be proactive if things like this happen.
And you got to go to Maya Grill unexpectedly, one of my favorite places at Walt Disney World. Love that place. Wish I was having some fajitas there tonight. But
honestly, I was laughing when we were there. I was like, this is where Maya Grill is. This is where Mike says we have to eat.
Here's the question. In the eye of a hurricane, was the guy there playing the smooth jazz on the guitar walking around?
The hurricane wasn't there yet, but yes, they were playing I don't think they were doing the smooth guitar, but they had some sort of live mariachi band there that night.
Ah, what can you do? What can you do? All right. You don't think of the logistics of all that, because I didn't even think about Vero Beach and Cruise Line. I mean, they had to find places for them. And I mean, you got to realize that at any given time, Walt Disney World is typically at 90 to 95% occupancy anyway. So I'm sure that it's pretty tough. You know, somebody here in the chat, Peter, saying that, you know, he was at Fort Wilderness and they ended up in an Art of Animation family suite, you know, because they had to put him somewhere. So, I'm sure they were looking at, like, you know, you're two people. What about if you have a cabin with, you know, six, and now where are we going to put their families? So, man, the logistics of that had to just have been incredible.
Absolutely. So, we had a really fun time. You know, we were able, because they, you know, we got ahead of the curve, so to speak, we were still able to go to Magic Kingdom, which was pretty much empty that night. That was one of my favorite nights, just, you know, riding Space Mountain. We did the Tomorrowland Speedway with, you know, our little cart that didn't turn left, you know, like those little things that you remember. But we just had so much fun, and it was nice because we were still able to enjoy the rest of our vacation, and even amidst all the chaos. And we did have to end up changing the rest. Like, we were going to go to Sanaa, and we were going to do a couple of other things on that Thursday. But when we were just looking at the storm, and my husband had picked up some overtime on Saturday when they were saying that the hurricane wasn't even going to be gone until Saturday, we were like, okay, we're going to need to change our reservation. We're going to need to get to the airport. Flying non-rev, you get a little bit of flexibility like that. And we had booked an American flight because that's who he flies for, but his dad flies for United. And we got the last two seats on the last United flight out of Orlando before the hurricane. So totally crazy. It ended up all working out.
What was Orlando International like at that kind of a situation? Because, you know, that place is gigantic. I love that airport. I love every aspect of flying now, which is so ironic. 2 years ago, I'd have never said that. But I mean, it's like a big, like I could just walk around that airport. There's so much going on. But was it just a nut house that day flying out? Because I'm sure everybody's scrambling. Like every person's definitely on the Amazing Race. Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting because we can see the back end of the scheduler. The amount of people that were non-rev, but they were revenue standby. So they were actual passengers trying to get on an earlier flight, which is why it was a little chaotic as a employee trying to get on the planes, because they were giving obviously priority to those people who had paid for seats. And there were so many people just trying to get out there early. So we had actually taken some of our camping stuff out of the camping bag that we usually check and put it in our regular bag, like our hammocks and our tent and all that kind of stuff, because we were prepared to like camp at the airport if we had to. But it ended up being fine. Jared's, you know, obviously as a pilot, he's like, yeah, that airport's okay. So he's a little bit different standard than
I'm just like, this place is awesome. Like, they have a Christmas tree that's huge in the middle by the hotel. They have a Disney store. I mean, you know, there's a NASA store. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So he was just laughing. He doesn't like the fact that you have to take the monorail system to like get to the different terminals or whatever.
That's part of the experience. I love that. It's like my first ride of the trip. You know, that's what I always tell the kids.
But see, at DFW, you can take the monorail loop, but you also have like walkways. So if you needed to get somewhere without having to get on the train, he definitely likes the like options for sure.
Probably the school that I used to teach at for years and years probably wasn't too exciting to, you know, I hated it. You know, it was like just an old wore out building. Maybe somebody else would have thought it was fun, but I guess it's what used to. Yeah, that's awesome. So as we wrap this up though, I think the biggest lesson from this trip is, I got a couple things from you. One is have a good time, you know, be a kid, dress up and trick or treat and be flexible. But the biggest thing I'm getting out of this one, because this was a trip of a lot of unexpecteds with the weather, with the hurricane, is, you know, again, your lesson of being proactive. Always have a plan. Think maybe 24 hours to 48 hours in advance. You know, if this were to happen, what alternatives can we start laying out now? Anything else that you can lay down for our listeners who are going down in the fall, just in general, because that's a great time to see Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest getting your travel insurance. Like, if you're going through the Miles for Less, you know, definitely talk to your agents about that. What's going to work best for you? Make sure that you understand what's actually covered and what's not. It ended up not being a big deal for us. We did buy the insurance just because of Jared's job. You never know what might pop up. But I would have probably been a lot more worried had we not had that in our back pocket. But thankfully, Disney was being very accommodating and very sweet about the situation in our case. And then the other thing is, even if there isn't a hurricane, it is monsoon season. That used to be, you know, the Everglades. So make sure you're packing your ponchos with the cute little Disney Mickey on the back and bringing your umbrellas, and just plan for rain, because pretty much, even though without the hurricane, it rains every afternoon, and you don't want to get stuck in some shop halfway across the park from where you want to be because you don't want to walk through the monsoon. We've been there, done that.
So yeah, we go in the summer. Trust me. I have bought so many ponchos at Walt Disney World. It's ridiculous because I always forget.
I'm pretty sure we have a box just full of ponchos from Disney.
And then it's like you get like, you know, you have nice weather, maybe say you're down there for like 8 days and you get to like day four without rain. And then it becomes day five. You're like, do I want to buy a poncho? Because I'm, you know, my trip's halfway over. But if you don't, it's just going to rain the rest of the time you're there.
Exactly.
If you buy it, it won't rain. So it's like an insurance policy again. So anyway.
There you go.
All right. So Maddie, where can people catch you online? I know you're connected socially. You do a lot of blogging. So where can people check out what you do?
Yeah, so we're not going to be doing any major Disney trips for the rest of the year because we have a third party on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank y'all. We found out if it was a boy or girl today, but I'm obviously going to tell my parents before I announce it to the rest of the world.
Hey, we're on Facebook Live. You know, hey, why not tell everyone?
But we have a blog that we run called AroundOurWorldIn80.com. The 80 is just an 80, not the actual word, but the rest of it's just AroundOurWorldIn80.com. My husband has his small business stuff, Love Life Design Co., and that's where you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. So those are the three places you can go.
All right, well, check that out. Maddie, thanks a lot. And again, congratulations. And I hope to catch you down at Walt Disney World or maybe on one of the ships someday. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'll be awesome. I'd love that. Thanks, Mike.
No problem. And don't forget today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. Right now, I'm sailing with author Jeff Barnes. He might not be running the amazing race I am, but you know what? When that amazing race is over, we're going to be back on the fantasy talking about all these lessons that Walt left us in Disneyland. And there'll be a little bit of an announcement here very soon because we're talking about it here on the cruise, but you know, other places as well coming up. And it's just a great read. You know, we're in the heart of summer. These are the dog days, they call them, man. I bet it's hot down in Texas. It's hot here in Missouri. It's hot in Florida. There's a sea breeze where I'm at right now, not to rub it in. But you know what? A good book in your hand makes it all the better. That book needs to be The Wisdom of Walt. So check it out today. Go by Amazon. Pick up any kind of copy you like, audio version, hard copy, soft cover, ebook, whatever you need. It's right there. And you can even drop by thewisdomofwalt.com, pick up a personally signed copy. Also, don't forget, you don't want to stand in lines, especially when it's hot in the summer and fall. Drop by touringplans.com. Avoid the crowds. Know when to go and where to go with that Lines app right there in your smartphone. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And a big thank you to everybody who is shopping with our Amazon affiliate link. We appreciate that so very much. Just go by brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Every little bit helps. So anytime you do this shopping again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And the tweeting and Instagramming will continue starting again on Saturday. So get ready for that. On Twitter, just follow at BRGuestMike. Same place on Instagram, at BRGuestMike. Lots of pictures coming at you from Walt Disney World and from the podcast cruise. As soon as we start going up that channel and all of a sudden my bars light back up on my phone, you know how I am. I'll probably be tweeting during breakfast on the last day. Let's see. We have a great Facebook group. You can always get in on the live shows, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. So join in on that. And I think that's about it. So we're going to cut you loose here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Probably not as much fun as everybody on the podcast cruise, but you know what? There's always Podcast Cruise 5 coming up, so you'll have to join us next time. But we'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Maddie, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Hey, it's time to get back to work, unless you're sailing the fantasy. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.